Somebody want to say amen right there. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Merle D. Arbine said, how can you hope to meet light? How can you hope to meet with those whom you love near Christ in heaven unless with them you see Christ on earth? How shall you assemble as a family there if you have not, my. Here's somebody else going deep on us first thing this morning. Let me get that section one more again. How shall you assemble as a family there up in heaven if you have not as a family attended to heavenly things here below? My God, help us. But as to the Christian family which shall have been united in Jesus, it will without doubt meet around the throne of the glory of God, whom it will have loved without having seen. Now that's beautiful and deep. Amen, somebody. You see, you got to, that's, when I say it's deep, God gives people, some people, the ability to go way out there and think of stuff that most people, normal people, don't even think of. These folks stretch you. This dear person went all the way to heaven and back, heaven in the future and back, right down into the family devotion. Can somebody say amen? If you're not woke now, stay woke. As this is a common thing, evidently among the black community today, this thing of never sleeping. It's the weirdest thing I ever heard. In fact, there was a black man who had a show, Stay Awake or something like that. I think he was on about 2 or 3 days because evidently nobody stayed awake to watch him. But the theme was stay awake or stay woke. Some of our so-called black leaders are saying that today as a phrase, a catchphrase, stay woke. And I'm not going to go into it in the direction that they're going, but I think in light of what we're facing, spiritually speaking, we need to stay woke and watch and pray. Amen, somebody. But I like that real good. I like that real good. How in the world can you talk about gathering around the throne of God? I'll meet you at the river for prayer and for praise, and you have never gathered as a family to pray and praise God on earth. Wow. Wow. Wow, that's something. Anyway, join me in reciting or reading the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He ascended, okay, install that section that I told you to install the other day. Right before that. Did you put it on there? No. It's the same thing. Just show me that while just show me the other one real quick. And let me install that. And then I want it done permanently. Bear with us, folks, as our technician right before your eyes installs something that I wrote and put in the Apostles' Creed. And I'm getting ready to put it in the Nicene Creed right before your eyes. Call somebody and tell somebody. History is in the making. Okay, let me lead me into it. You know, back up. Yeah. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended to heaven, amen, somebody, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. Somebody ought to say amen right there at the Nicene Creed. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic, universal and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I like that real good. Join me in reading Ephesians chapter 5:22 as we go back to the family verses. We read this entire passage in Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 22, and the entire chapter of Ephesians chapter 6. Sometimes we didn't read the last few verses, closing on chapter 6. I led my family in doing this because we both, both the husband in this family, the father in this family, me, and the wife and mother came out of very dysfunctional families. And I felt led of the Lord to remind us on a daily basis of our roles and how we ought to behave in the family, to instill these principles. And so we're still in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Where the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." David Guzik writes in his Enduring Word, commentary on the Bible, he continues, as to the Lord does not define the extent of a wife's submission or the limit of a wife's submission. It defines the motive of a wife's submission. It means, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands because it is a part of your duty to the Lord. Now, this is crucial. This is very important. One of the reasons why my wife and I are still together, as she will tell you and she has written about, is because I kept reminding her, do not take my rebuke or whatever personally. This is between you and the Lord. It's not between, not just between you and me. It is between you and the Lord. It's about you obeying what the Lord has told you. And if you obey what the Lord has told you, then you and I will be fine. You will not have a problem obeying me and submitting to me. So this is crucial. This is important. And as the writer has brought out, and I know that there are many women who don't like to hear this kind of thing, but you're not going to have a real marriage. You're not going to have a marriage and family of peace and a whole lot of the great benefits that you could get from marriage. You will never have those deep blessings of God in the marriage until you do it God's way. And you need to obey him and submit to your husband because you are obeying the Lord. And if you don't want to do that, you don't need to get married. This is what I have told my daughters, and I've also told my daughters that if I were them, I would not, if I was any woman, I would not even think about getting married if I could control myself in other ways. And so you do as the Lord leads you to do. But if you choose to get married, you need to do it God's way or there's going to be a problem and you're going to end up in the divorce court. So, wives, he says, because it is an expression of your submission to the Lord. When you obey your husband, when you submit to your husband, it is an expression of your submission to the Lord first and foremost. It's not about just you and your husband. Stop trying to make it about just you and your husband. That's what disobedient, rebellious, and stubborn people do. They always want to make it about somebody else. Do you remember the scene in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned? God walks through the garden. Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. He wanted Adam to come to him as he normally did. And God began to question them, and everybody started blaming somebody else. That's what sinful, rebellious, stubborn, disobedient people do all of the time. They blame somebody else. They shuck and jive. They dodge. They change the subject. They try to move it to somebody else and another problem and all kinds of evil, lying things. We human beings do when we are not obedient to God. Amen, somebody, or oh me. Or wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Do it in this way. Do it as a part of your submission to the Lord. That's what you're doing. That's if you, and what the problem is, in many cases, there are women who say they are Christians, but are not. They say they love Jesus, but they don't. They, in church on Sunday morning, raise their hands and praise God, and they dress up and they're pretty, little outfits and say, I love you, Lord. And they sang wonderful songs, but they're lying. They're hypocrites and phonies because they refuse to obey God at home. They refuse to obey their husbands at home. They refuse to respect their husbands at home, but yet they want to say they love the Lord at church, and that's just a lie. It is hypocritical. It is nothing but phoniness. Now, I know that many of you don't like that, but that's true. In other words, you are not doing it only for the husband. You are doing it, he says, primarily for the Lord himself. And somehow many women can't get past this because all they see is their husband. They don't see the Lord. One lady asked a question as a title of a book. Me? Obey him? Are you kidding me? You are doing it for Christ's sake. You are doing it because you know that he exhorts you to do it. Because it is well-pleasing in his sight that you should be doing it. And may I say again, outside of the text that we're reading, as I've shared with my family down through the years, the most beautiful thing on earth is when a Christian may not feel like obeying God in a certain area, but they suck it up and do it anyway by the grace of God and with God's help. When a full-grown adult may not feel like obeying God, may not feel like doing the right thing, but they suck it up and they just say, you know what, it's right to do this. I know it's right to do this. I may not get a reward for it. I may not get a pat on the back. Nobody may not ever notice, but I'm going to do the right thing. When a wife does that, it is a beautiful thing. When she wants to talk back and run off at the mouth and give her husband a piece of her mind, she sucks it up. She holds back. She restrains herself. And she submits and obeys. It's a beautiful thing when an adult child does that. My heart was so blessed the other night. My adult children, who are grown and on their own, stepped up and helped me to take care of something for the ministry, for the family. And they didn't have to. They drove a long way to do it. They met me and did what I asked them to do. And did it cheerfully and joyfully. And wonderfully. They could have had many other things they could have done, but they sucked it up and said, you know what, I'm going to help my father. It's a beautiful thing when grown children do that, when they don't have to. It's beautiful. When they can be doing 1,000 other things, they suck it up and say, okay, I feel this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. Amen, somebody. It is a beautiful thing when people obey God. For whatever reason, whatever the motivation, is because you love God. And much of the time in my life, yes, I do love God, but I also fear God. And I learned to fear God after God chastised me many years ago. And I'll be quite frank with you. Yes, I do love God because he first loved me. And he put that love in my heart. But I believe I fear God more. And that is a form of loving God, by the way. It is. And he showed me that. There are things I will not do because I fear what he would do to me. I'm just honest with you. I like being blessed. I don't like mess. I don't like God taking privileges away from me. And And so I just go ahead on and humble myself as a good son, if you will, and just go ahead on and do what he tells me to do. By the way, I am in this marriage of over 30 years, partly because of that fear that I have of God. I fear him so much that I would not put myself in a situation where I will be tempted with other women in the sense of getting married to somebody else while my first wife is living. I fear that. I fear what he would do to me, because God has been extremely good to me, and I would not want to do anything to offend him in that area. And I would have to get married again. And I fear him, and I fear what his word says about that. I hope that you have a healthy love for God and a healthy fear of God. It's all good. Be that as it may, it is part of your Christian behavior, your Christian duty, if you will. It is a part of your discipleship as a Christian woman. No one is trying to steal your freedom or your happiness. You will never be happy as a wife and mother until you do what God has commanded you to do. Now, I know that this is not popular in most churches today, but it is still biblical, and in most churches they don't preach this. In many churches, it's all about beating up on the husband and making sure he's doing what everything he can possibly do to make his wife happy, which that is impossible. Only God can make a person truly happy and joyful and cheerful. Join me in prayer for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for the healing of every Christian family by every Christian person taking heed to your holy word and doing what you have commanded us to do. Forgive us of our wicked sins of thinking that we can be blessed by you and have your wonderful peace that passeth all understanding and your joy unspeakable while disobeying you. It has never worked that way, and it never will. And help all of your people to realize that many of us have to bite the bullet and, so to speak, and do what you've commanded us to do, whether we feel like it or not. And because it is a beautiful thing that when by the power of your Holy Spirit we exercise our will, when we would rather do something else, and we say no to that something else which is contrary to your will, and we do what you have told us to do, it is still a beautiful thing, one of the most beautiful things on earth. So help us to do that beautiful thing, and that is to obey you, though the stars fall. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional passage for today is Psalm 106, 13 through 20. They soon forgot his works, and that is so sad, isn't it, people, when we forget the yesterdays of God? I believe there's a Christian song about yesterday. I think it was sung by the Winans many years ago. Then, of course, the Beatles, I don't know what they were singing about, but they had a beautiful song about yesterday. People, don't throw away your yesterdays. Don't throw away what God did for you in your yesterdays, because they will shore you up and support you and encourage you in your todays. Don't forget what God has done for you in the past. Amen, somebody. Don't forget what God has, the miracles that God has worked for you in the past. They waited not for his counsel. God deliver people in the church from acting foolishly by not waiting on God and his counsel and rushing and doing things they have no business doing, making a mess of things. Verse 14, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. That's where many of the chosen people of God, Christians, are today. Lusting after things that they should not be lusting after. Tempting God with their foolishness in the house of God and in the church. Not doing it God's way and think that good is going to come. It doesn't work that way, people. That's not going to work. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They begged God for stuff and they got it, but they still were not satisfied. How many of you know that things and events and people will not satisfy you? They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. My. So, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry writes in, I believe, the greatest devotional commentary ever written. He said, those that will not wait for God's counsel will justly be given up to their own heart's lusts, to walk in their own counsels. And how dangerous is that? An undue desire, even for lawful things, becomes sinful. God showed his displeasure for this. He filled them with uneasiness of mind, terror of conscience, and self-reproach. Many that fare deliciously every day and whose bodies are healthful have leanness in their souls. You can, in other words, appear like you got it going on the outside, but there's nothing going on the inside. No love to God, no thankfulness to God, no appetite for the bread of life, and then the soul must be lean. Those wretchedly forget themselves that feast their bodies, my God, help us, and starve their souls. Holy Father God in heaven, I can see you in with the mind's eye sitting on your throne, and you, Lord Jesus, sitting at his right hand, and all I want to say is thank you for your holy word. Fill us with your holy word this morning, and fill us with your Holy Spirit to do your will and to obey your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. join us in praying for the estates. And by now you know what the estates are, so let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for the church. We pray that you would help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways and to humble ourselves. Revive us again and help us to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for the government. We pray for President Trump, who did a great job last night in the State of the Union. We pray based upon your holy word. I exhort, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray for President Donald Trump and his family and his administration. We pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, and all White House staff, including Chief Digital Officer Ori S. Ranat, all leaders of federal agencies, including National Mediation Board Chairman Harry R. Hoglander, all state governors, including Georgia Governor Nathan Deal, all city mayors, including Colorado Springs Mayor John W. Southers, all members of Congress, including Arkansas Representative Rick Crawford, all law officials, including Long Beach, California Police Chief Robert Luna, all military leaders, General Vincent K. Brooks, Commander of U.S. Forces in Korea, leaders of nations around the world, Antigua and Barbuda's Governor, General Sir Rodney Williams, and Prime Minister Gaston Brown. And Holy Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the people and the citizens of this country and around the globe, that they, by the power of your Holy Spirit and the preaching of your Holy Word, would turn their eyes towards you, Lord Jesus, and trust you as Savior. Have your Holy Spirit not to give them rest until they do that. And we pray that you would revive those citizens who are saved. Revive your church once again, like never before, with your church bowing down and confessing their sins and repenting of their divorces. They are neglecting their children, their hatred, their bitterness, their resentment, their racism in the church. Lord, help us all to repent of our sins. Help us to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways. We pray for the media, the traditional old media and the new media. And we pray that you will save those who are lost in the media, revive those who are saved in the media, and lead, guide, and direct them to speak the truth, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the news, and help them not to create lying fake news. And Holy Father God, we pray for current events happening in the world, not to inform you, but to obey you, to pray for others who are in need. And Holy Father God, we pray for the deliverance of Cape Town, South Africa, from drought, as many are preparing to have their water supply cut off. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 11 people killed and 16 people wounded in an ISIS attack on a military academy in Afghanistan. And we pray for the comfort of the families and community of Millcroft, Pennsylvania, where five people were killed in a shooting at a car wash. And comfort them as only you can. Save those who are lost and who are alive and involved. And Holy Father God, we pray for the many prayer requests that have come in. We pray for the hundreds that have come in, but we pray for a few by name, and we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings, Lord, upon these people, all of them. And we pray particularly for Marie D. Please help her to continue to trust in you and lean on you. We pray for Umesh. Please bless the ERISA missionary movement and independent and indigenous ministries. We pray for Pastor Bushibi. Please provide them with Bibles, Christian liturgy for soul winning, a library, support for orphans and widows, bikes, and better transportation for pastors, a Bible school building program, a building for their evangelistic meetings, and poverty eradication program as well. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. Help them to grow in the faith and be the Christians you want them to be. We pray for patience. We pray for Rodwell. We pray for Yewo. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you, Lord Jesus, through the preaching in this ministry as well. And we pray that you would help these to stand strong in the faith and never go back. We pray for Michelle. We pray for Funami. And we pray for Josphat. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in all of their lives, and do the same in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. The title of our devotional reading today is What Makes God Smile, Part 10 from The Purpose-Driven Life by Dr. Rick Warren. He goes on to say, God smiles when we use our abilities. After the flood, that's very interesting. God smiles when we use our abilities, our talents, our gifts for his glory. After the flood, God gave Noah these simple instructions. Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. God said, it's time to get on with your life. Do the things I design humans to do. Make love to your spouse. Have babies. Raise families. Plant crops and eat meals. Be humans. This is what I made you to be. You may feel that the only time God is pleased with you is when you're doing spiritual, in quotation marks, spiritual activities, like reading the Bible, attending church, praying, or sharing your faith. And you may think God is unconcerned about the other parts of your life. Actually, God enjoys watching every detail of your life, whether you are working, playing, resting, or eating. He doesn't miss a single move you make. The Bible tells us the steps of the godly are directed by the Lord. That's very comforting, isn't it? He delights in every detail of their lives. Make God smile by doing the things that God made you to do. And stop thinking that God is only concerned about you praying and reading the Bible and going to church. Now, God enjoys every aspect of your life, and He wants you to enjoy it. We got some people so so earthly, so heavenly minded, there are no earthly good. And I've dealt with this issue in the past. So high and holy that they can't get with their spouse, can't play with their children, can't have a good time, can't go to a fellowship or go to a good party every now and then, housewarming party or whatever. Don't have any fun. You ought to have fun on a daily basis serving God. I'm reminded of an old song my mom and dad used to listen to back in the 60s, sung by the velvet voice of Curtis Mayfield. It's all right to have a good time. It's all right, yeah, it's all right. And I feel so sorry for some Christians who don't have a good time serving God and living their life and just being human and being the way God made them. So stuck up, so high and holy, so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. God does not want you to be that way. It's all good in His sight if you're obedient to Him. Now, let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we praise You and we thank You for this time of devotions together all around the world, live and on demand. We give You the glory, the praise, and the honor and the privilege to do this and to participate in this, for it is so necessary. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our failures, and our faults. That we were convicted about from Your holy word in this devotional today. Crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us afresh and anew. Fill us, Lord, with the power of Your Holy Spirit to love right, to talk right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in Your sight. And Lord, we thank You for what You have done and for what You're doing. We pray that You would truly revive us again and help us to serve You in every area of our lives and enjoy the ride. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death all day long." We die physically because of sin. We die spiritually and go to hell because of sin, violating God's laws. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is an awful place. This is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said in John 3:16, with his own lips, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Believe that he died on the cross for your sins. He suffered and bled his holy blood and died for your sins, my sins, the sins of the entire world. What sin, you say, or you ask? Sins such as stealing, lying, lusting, dishonoring your parents, and on we can go. Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried because he truly died, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him in heaven and not go to hell. So pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul. For as Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 13 says, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell because of your sins. That's what being saved is about. So that you can go saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God in Jesus Christ in heaven. If you don't want that, then don't trust Christ as Savior. But if you want that, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says, you shall be saved. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. And just repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Many have prayed a prayer like this down through the centuries. And someone helped me, and I am willing to help you. Repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you and broken some of your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in you, Lord Jesus, that you died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change and transform my life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. He is my prayer.